takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
A time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio, freedomselection.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We can change.
We can, one heart and mind at a time. Welcome to the Center Path. I'm Jay Parker, your host, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking to Mark Passio, founder of the Free Your Mind Conference, lecturer, teacher, man's done such an incredible amount of work at What on Earth is Happening that he and his wife, Barb Martinelli, started years and years ago. And they both put in so much work. And it's a website that, I appreciate that website as much as I do websites that have Jordan Maxwell's work on it. It's just the caliber of research and the thought that goes into the work to try to articulate exactly what is going on and what the problem is. And the problem is in the mind. It's how we think. And from that Golgotha crucifixion spot, the place of the skull is, well, you think you do. Well, what are we thinking? Because we're certainly doing it, right? So I just want to say that whatonearthishappening.com has quite a few items that you really should get your hands on, like the 2-terabyte drive, Amazing Resource of Knowledge. I mean, it's like getting the Library of Alexandria in a 2-terabyte drive. All you have to do is send him a drive and Mark will load it for you with 25 years of his research materials. Of course, it'll take you 5 or 6 lifetimes to go through it all, but hey, that's your problem. I just want to say that a lot of people talk about, you know, people getting angry about what's going on. I don't see how you cannot be angry at genocide and mass murder. 17.5 million people to 24 million people have died already from the mRNA jab. An additional 80 million people, because of lockdowns, starved to death in the last 3 years. Normally, we have about 35 million a year starved to death. But now it's up to 80. But, you know, nobody talks about that because, hey, what about those eagles, huh? So I'm going to bring Mark on. And I've gotten to the point, folks, and I'll be honest with you. I want to see the guillotine brought back big time. But, you know, I may not get that wish. I wouldn't mind a nuclear war that, you know, left this planet looking like a smoldering styrofoam ball. Wouldn't have a problem with that at all. Because, you see, who I am is my consciousness. And my consciousness is in total alignment and harmony with natural law and the divine creator. I do not cooperate with evil. I do not bend my knee to Molech. He can kill me, as Gandhi said. You can have my corpse. You can have my body, but you'll never have my cooperation. And if you have something else going on between your ears than that statement, you're a loser. Because you came into this place and you put your temporary meat sack ahead of eternal natural law. You made your meat sack temporary human avatar more important than your eternal consciousness. You are a loser and a coward for letting these pedophiles push you around. But I've gotten to the point where, yeah, I'm really angry. I lost my whole life to these people. They stuffed me so full of satanic brainwashing and devil spirits. I didn't get a piece of my consciousness back until 2001. And I was born in 1956. And when I got a little piece of my original consciousness back, you know what I said? I said, I'm not going to go kill my father, although he certainly deserved it. He was a mass murdering pedophile. I said, I'm going to study and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure this doesn't happen to anyone else. And I've dedicated my life to finding out how they're doing this to us and what the solution is. And I can say, unless you study your own physiology and understand the programmable state and do the shadow work and EFT and whatever it takes, there are tons of energy psychologies to reprogram your subconscious. There are tons of great lectures that you can get your hands on from people like Mark Passio, Michael Tazarian, Jordan Maxwell. You can learn because, as Frederick Douglass said, knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave. But I'm not angry at the vast majority of NPCs anymore. You know why? Because you're not worthy of my rage. You're not worthy of my rage. I do not respect you enough to give you my rage. No, I'm angry at you. But as Kevin Trudeau said, I care, but not that much. Not enough to get myself all twisted up in a knot. Because you're not worth it. If you can look at the genocide that's going on in Gaza, if you can look at the proxy imperialist war in Ukraine and just go along with this stuff and not want to become an activist, there's plenty of spaces on Revolution Radio. You can start going on to the internet in a couple of days, I'm sure, if you ask the management here, and you could start broadcasting a talk show and talking about freedom and talking about the issues that need to be talked about. You can help get the word out, but, you know, you're too busy, right? All I'm saying is, you know, the NPCs do not deserve my rage, because I've had it. You know, I'm waiting for a mercy comment, and whatever happens, I don't care in that way, because I know, you know, my consciousness is with the infinite God, and let the chips fall where they may. Well, Mark, how are you doing tonight? Yeah, maybe he's not there. Mark?
There you go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry about that. How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. Hanging in there. Thank you for bringing me on.
Yeah, I really like this series, At the End of the World. You know,
absolutely. The End of the World series. I like it.
One way or another, if we let these people continue in power, they're going to find a way to wreck everything. I mean, my parents said that, you know, in 1962, they said to me, the Council of 13 had decided that they're going to create the worst time in human history. Yep. And they were cognizant of the 5 to 7 previous worldwide civilizations that fell.
And that time is here.
So here we are again, where, you know, at the end of the age of Pisces. So let's go out with a bang.
Yep. Like I said at the end of the last show, making a little play on Douglas Adams' work from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's just the end of the world again. Don't panic. You know, that's where we're at. And, you know, I appreciate your introduction, because it is true. It's like, you know, the NPCs of the world, the people who are really completely enthralled in the programming, they really kind of don't even deserve people's righteous rage. That's why the problem that I have these days are the people who say that they want freedom. I think our quote unquote team members are really the problem these days, because they set themselves up in a comfort zone and say, this far but no further, they'll make the statement, I want freedom. I want to be free, and I want other people to be free. And they believe incorrectly that they know what the requirements for that condition is. And I say incorrectly because they simply believe that the solution is some political rearrangement, some financial reform or reorganization, some cultural change or some technological innovation that has to come forward and, you know, be invented or something like that. They do not.
I like those solutions, Mark.
Oh,
because then I don't have to change.
I'm not saying that we can't look for new technologies or champion those things or anything like that. What I'm saying is, if you believe that that's the generator of freedom, you don't understand what the actual requirements for going from an enslaved society to a free society are. And that's,
you know, something, it you just triggered me there, because Douglas Adams, when the masters of the world went to deep thought,
right,
and he gave them the answer 42,
mm-hmm,
and they were like, 42, what are you talking about?
He
said, you don't really understand the question.
That's right. And this is about causality. And the real question is, what got us to this point of enslavement? And the average human being, even on the side of freedom, who says that's the condition I want, does not know the causal factors. And the reason I am sort of enraged these days and sort of very, very angry about our team, because I find our team to be wholly inadequate to the task at hand. Our team is offering a bad news bears effort when we're playing the New York Yankees. They really don't even understand the enemy that we're up against whatsoever. And when I tell them that I actually do understand the enemy that we're up against and they don't, I'm suddenly the bad guy in their mind. I'm trying to get them to understand what the requirements that we all need to do and perform are. And there's people out there saying, I want freedom. And I say, okay, I definitively do know the requirements for achieving that state, because this is the only thing that I've made my life about. I've studied it so in depth and so completely that I understand the totality of the dynamics involved in that endeavor. I didn't say I know the totality of everything. Don't get my words twisted. Don't hear what you want to hear. Hear what's actually being said, and don't invent things. This is what people tend to do, is they tend to invent what you are saying instead of actually being present and hearing the words that are actually being said. I said, when it comes to the dynamic of human enslavement or freedom, I fully understand how it works, and I'm trying to explain it to less educated people who have not made that the totality of their existence and who have not studied it to the depth and to the level that I have. So I equate this to, I've come up with an analogy. Picture knowing nothing at all about woodworking, and your goal in life is to become a master craftsman with wood. You want to be able to build custom furniture. You want to be able to build custom cabinets. You want to know every dynamic about how do I cut wood? How do I make wood into the things that I want to sell to people? I want to become a master wood craftsman. Yet, you have none of those skill sets. You don't know how to use a saw. You don't know how to measure. You don't know how to cut. You don't know how to mold. You don't know how to chip. You don't know how to do any of the things required to be a master craftsman. You don't even know the tool set whatsoever. But it's your desire. So you say the words. You put out the intention into the universe, into the world. What I want to do and to be is to be a master craftsman with wood. So you would imagine that the next step would be go and find someone who has already achieved that and who knows how to do all of those skill sets and then apprentice under that person, meaning let them explain and show you all of the tasks and all of the intricacies of what they know and have them pass that knowledge down and along to you. But when you go into the presence of the master craftsman who has already done all the things that you want to do, who does know the totality of all of those dynamics, and who has made all of the things that you would like to make, and who has sold them out on the market and has become, let's say, affluent and rich by selling those things. He's successful in his craft and in his field. You go to the master craftsman and he says, let's begin. I'm going to show you all of the tools of the trade, all of the tricks of the trade. I'm going to show you all of the techniques and all of the skill sets. And he begins showing you all of those things, and immediately you say to him, I don't want any of your knowledge. What do you know? You don't know any of this stuff. And what you're showing me is useless and meaningless. And what you're talking about, I want no part of. And he says, you just said you want to be a master craftsman, and you want to be a master woodworker, and you want to make the things that I've made, and you want to be able to sell these types of things that I've made a living out of selling, and I'm extremely successful. You just made that statement, did you or did you not? Yes, I did. That's what I want to do. Well, I have done that, and I am showing you how to do that. No, shut up. I don't want any of this. I don't want to know any of this. Stop talking. I know more than you. You don't know anything, and I know infinitely more than you do. Imagine the insanity that it would take to make statements like that to the person who proved through their actual knowledge, skill set, and behavior that they have everything required to help you become what you say you want. And then you say, I want no part of that knowledge. That's been the last 17 years for me. I have attempted to the best of my ability as a human being to communicate all of the dynamics that are required to be known and all of the intricacies of how the causal factors regarding human freedom actually work in reality and nature. And the reception by the majority of the people, especially in the freedom movement, has been, you know absolutely nothing, and I know infinitely more than you. And what I need to do, not right now today, but in the near future, is I need to completely restructure the way that I go about even attempting to disseminate knowledge, because the vast majority of people on this planet are the person who say, I want to be that woodworker, go to the master craftsman, and completely reject the knowledge that he's trying to convey to them because their ego is in the way and they believe they know better than the person who actually knows the totality of those dynamics at work in reality. I need to reshape and restructure my mission and what I have been doing and really focus only on the people who I have vetted as truly wanting to know. And I need to start pulling back on putting this knowledge out in the way that I've put it out, because it is abundantly clear that the mass majority of human beings are completely and utterly incapable of receiving the truth. They cannot process it. They are not intelligent enough. But moreover, it's not just about raw intelligence. It is about having the satanic mindset in the way of the reception of truth. They are not vessels that are properly prepared for the reception of the information that I could impart to them. They're the egoic potential, a trainee or, you know, person, apprentice who says to the person that they say that they wanted to learn from, you have nothing to teach me. I know infinitely more than you, when they actually know completely zero, less than zero. They not only know zero, they're attached to lies. They are in what I call the state of negative knowledge. They're not even on the ground floor at zero. They are in the basement. They're in the sub-basement. They're in the sub-sub-basement. They're in a hole that they're never going to dig themselves out of because of their satanic mindset. The religion called Satanism is not the worship of the Christian devil deity, of a bull deity with bull horns and a pitchfork and a tail and hooves. This is a little babyfied child's interpretation of what evil is. It's the babyfied interpretation of what the force that destroys the human mind actually is. And the mass majority of human beings have completely devastated minds. Their minds aren't destroyed. They're powdered into dust, just like the World Trade Center was pulverized into dust. Their mind, their soul, their spirit is completely and totally pulverized to dust. There's nothing left of it. The Satanists of this world have not, they're not going to destroy things. They long ago destroyed things. And most, the thing that they most and completely devastated was the vast, overwhelming majority of all human beings' minds and souls. They're not in the process of being destroyed. They were destroyed, past tense, long ago, and they're completely devastated to the point of never being able to be recovered. That's why I need to completely restructure how I even deliver the information, and I need to do some system of vetting or somehow proving the person's worthiness to receive it. I feel like the last 17 years was one big, large joke upon me. And I did, with this information, something that I probably shouldn't have done. And that's even attempted to give it to people who have absolutely no ability to receive it. It's like handing something to a person with no arms. And you're saying, here, take this from me. Here, take this from me. Here, take this from me. I've been like a retarded person, because I have not even fully cognized how destroyed people are. And I've been trying to hand something to a person with no arms. That's where my mission has been for the last 17 years. And some people were prepared to receive it and did receive it and then took the ball and ran with it. And that's great. But in the times that we are living in, my patience for ignorance is 100% gone. I don't have it anymore. I used to have much more patience as a younger man, and I just don't anymore. It's used up. The reservoir, the tank is empty. It's gone. Many people might say, oh, you didn't have much to begin with, Mark. No, I really did. I really had much more patience when I was younger. And now it's really, really, really gone. Because you can only say something so many times with the best of intentions in your heart and knowing that you are definitively correct because you vetted your correctness over and over and over and over in order not to put out harmful information. I have vetted the correctness of my knowledge. Most people don't even know how to do that. They just continue to spout an ill-informed opinion. I have never done that. I have vetted the correctness of my knowledge and information that I put forward publicly. And the vast majority of people have responded, I want nothing whatsoever to do with that because I want to continue to believe that I'm right. When in fact they are not correct, when in fact they have not arrived at the proper understanding of the dynamics that govern human freedom. Because if they did, we'd already be free. If people knew the dynamics that generated freedom and they say they want to be free, and almost everybody's going to respond, I want to be free, I don't want to be enslaved. The mass majority of human beings are absolutely full of crap. You're lying to yourselves and everybody else, because if you really wanted to be free, you would learn the dynamics that generate freedom and you would meet those requirements. And those requirements are you actually have to know the definitive and objective difference between right and wrong behavior. And almost everyone who says that they want to be free still condones wrong behavior in others through the condoning of authority and government. They still even condone the existence of these things. They participate in these things. They tell other people to participate in these things. If you believe government can ever generate freedom, that's like saying setting your house on fire can keep it well intact and safe and clean. This is the biggest form of insanity and madness that could ever exist. It's like saying, I want clothes to be dry so I can put them on and wear them, yet I'm going to cover them in water from a hose or from a sink tap and then put them on. You will never dry clothes that way. You will wet them, and you'll be uncomfortable in wet clothes. You will never make your house safer by setting it on fire. And this is the madness that I encounter in people every single solitary day. They say they want one thing, then with their distorted thought process, they think and do the exact opposite thing that can never generate that state of being and can only generate its opposite. How long can you try to teach retarded people over and over and over and over and over again before you finally say, I'm speaking to a retard, and they will never understand? There is a gap in knowledge so great that it will never be narrowed at this point. It's like the people with that knowledge, truly holding that knowledge, have become a different species. And the unfortunate thing is the degenerate species that still exists on this planet, which are the people who will never receive that knowledge because of the satanic state of their own ego, telling them over and over, you can't be wrong, you're right, and that's wrong. what that person's saying is wrong. You can't be wrong. You couldn't have been fooled. You couldn't have been deceived. Your religion couldn't have told you a lie. Your government couldn't have told you a lie. Your teachers couldn't have told you a lie. Your parents couldn't have told you a lie. That's what Satan is. It's the voice inside of ourselves when we are completely and utterly deceived that keeps saying to us over and over and over again, you can't be wrong. You can't be deceived. You have to be correct. See, when I heard that voice in earlier on in my life, I was trapped there for a while, too. I was trapped in the satanic ego for a long time. And I finally broke its spell and came out of the satanic ego by saying to myself, no, that is incorrect. You are wrong. I was wrong. I was deceived completely. My thinking is all distorted. It's all effed up. It's all screwed up. I'm part of the problem because of the very nature of how I am thinking right now. And shut up, voice in my head that's saying I couldn't have been deceived. Shut your mouth. You're wrong. I was wrong and deceived. I said that to myself to come out of that satanic, egoic mindset. And I thought I was no one special for ever having done that. I thought if I could say shut up to that voice in my head that is telling me you can't be deceived, you couldn't be wrong all these years. I thought in all of the distorted ways that the people today continue to think that is generating the problem. They're the causal factor for the very nature of slavery. Their distorted thinking about what they believe to be real. They believe in lies. And they will not accept truth. That's the only two ways that hell is ever created. And boy, is hell not only being created, it has been created. And it's going to get a whole lot worse because of the distortion in thought that almost everybody in this world is rigidly attached to and will not actually listen to the voice of reason and logic and wisdom. And see, I listened to the voice of reason, logic, and wisdom. And I got the Satan out of my own mind. See, Satan doesn't exist as an entity out there somewhere in space or in another dimension or in the bowels of the earth. This is a moron's view of reality that religion gives to moronic children to keep them complete morons and ignoramuses. You have to be a complete ignoramus moron to believe that that's what Satan is. And see, that's the problem, explaining what Satan really is to a moron. Satan is that very force inside your own thought forms that says to you, don't listen to the voice of reason, logic, and wisdom. Put that out of your mind. Listen to me. You can't be wrong. You can't be deceived. You couldn't have been duped. You couldn't have had the wool pulled over your eyes. No, 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 no. You know better. You know what's real and true. Don't listen to that. Don't research on your own. Buy into all the pre-existing lies that have kept humanity enslaved for hundreds of thousands of years. Do that. Don't say the words. Don't say the phrase of all power. Never, ever, ever say, I was wrong. Do you know how many tens of thousands of times earlier on in my life I said I was wrong over and over and over and over and over again? And still to this day, I have to say the words I was wrong, mostly today regarding the condition of humanity. Because I genuinely believe that human beings overall, the worldwide over, had fundamentally good hearts. I really believe that when I was younger. And I had to say more recently, upon really recognizing where the bulk of the people of this planet are, I was wrong regarding that. And that's a torture. That's a horror. It's a terror to have to admit that you're wrong about something that fundamental. I really believed people wanted the truth. I really believed they wanted freedom. I really believed they wanted to improve themselves. I really believed they wanted to be good. They don't want any of those things. They love evil deep in their heart. Deep in their heart and mind, the people of this planet love and want evil. They love that it rains, and they want it to rain for all eternity. And they want it to consume themselves, and they want it to consume all future generations of children that are to come after them. Whether they believe that's the case deep in their heart or not, it actually is the case in the real world. In the world of nature, in the world of reality, in the world of truth, that's what the people of this planet want, and that's what they are going to have. Because they are lying to themselves. That's what people are really great at. They're not good at receiving the truth, but they're fantastic at lying to themselves. It's their number one job that they do every day. They're masters at lying to themselves and saying, I want freedom. I want prosperity. I want order. I'm a good person. I know the difference between right and wrong. Liars. Liars. I call on the majority of all people on this planet. You are liars. And you've always been liars. You don't want freedom and goodness. If you did, we'd have it already. You'd be teaching people what right and wrong are already. You'd step forward onto the battlefield already. You would have done it. You wouldn't sit back in the shadows like a coward if you wanted freedom. If you were a good person, you'd know the difference between right and wrong and know that authority is completely immoral and wrong and always has been. And these same people, they dare to call themselves the word Christian. Liars. Liars. You should be completely ashamed of yourself. If you believe in government and simultaneously call yourself a Christian, you are a usurper of the throne of God. You are a usurper of the throne of God. And you're a liar that you're a good person. And you're a liar that you want freedom for yourself or your children or your grandchildren or any future generations of children. And if you haven't already set foot on the battlefield and tried to teach people true morality, not your complete garbage made up religious nonsense that you laughingly call morality, if you haven't already done that, you're a liar that you want freedom for yourself or anyone else. And that's the reality of the situation that we live in. We are on a junk team. We're on a team that is such garbage as players that we couldn't possibly win with the team we have. And the people within the sound of my voice and anywhere else that this interview was taken, and this is what I've been saying in my own work, what I really want to do is get you to realize what a horrendous effort you've given in this battle. We've been defeated in this spiritual battle without even putting up a real fight. We've been defeated without putting up a real fight because of the thought form distortions that continue to exist in the feeble minds of the people who are allegedly on our team. I say allegedly because they're not on anybody's team. They're on their satanic ego's team. And they will not acknowledge the presence and operation of the world of the dark occult. They will not acknowledge how mind control has gone to work to completely possess them. They want to see that as something, oh, that's something the other people's problem. No, it's not. Most people's minds are completely possessed and taken and have been for the longest time imaginable. They want to believe that I'm a good person. I can't believe how many people in the last even 2 or 3 months I've encountered in the flesh, in person, that say to me, I believe government must exist, and it's perfectly moral and justifiable for this institution to continue to exist. And then in the next breath, say, state publicly, state aloud, speak it aloud into the world, I'm a good person. Imagine this. And this, I'm talking about most of the listening audience right now. They believe government is perfectly valid and should continue to exist. Most people.
Can I say something?
Sure.
It's just that, you see, when at the end of a Jordan Maxwell 2.5 hour talk, he said, you know, you need to sit down with God and talk out loud.
Yep.
Verbally speaking into the universe.
Yep.
Your hopes and desires, and for God to lead you and show you the truth, and you'll do what you have to do and go where you have to go. You know, where you make a commitment to the truth.
That's right.
And believe me, everybody I know that has made a, I'd rather die than go against God, has synchronistically had their life changed. And all I have to say is, you know, this is why I talk about the programmable state, and I talk about human physiology, because if you understand your body chemistry and the synapses of your brain and the programmable state, garbage in, garbage out.
Yep.
Realize you've got a subconscious that's running 95% of your thoughts and actions, and you didn't put that computer program in.
That's
society
right.
Did. The warmongering pedophile society gave you their mind.
That's right.
It doesn't mean it's your fault. It's not your fault. It's like saying to a toddler, oh, it's your fault I raped you.
Right.
It's like, it's not your fault that you got a satanic subconscious. It's your fault that you defend it.
That's right. It's not your, you didn't put yourself in that condition, but it's your responsibility to get yourself out of that condition. You have to be strong enough to rise above that condition and take your mind out of it. It is possible. It is hard work, but it is possible to do. And
But there are people, Mark, like yourself, like myself, like Jordan Maxwell, like David Icke, that are uncompromising when it comes to truth. You see, Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson, a bunch of people in the alternative media, you know, they'll justify taking a knee to Moloch.
Morality has to come above everything else.
You see, you got to get to the point where it's what James O'Keefe said when he got in front of that crowd. He said, to be a truth teller in this world, you have to be willing to give up your life. You
That's
have
it.
To be willing to die.
That's what the Christ consciousness is.
It's all about. That's why
it.
He got crucified.
Right, right.
Don't you get it? That's why he said, follow me. Well, be prepared to be a martyr.
Yep. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And most people don't know the truth. They don't even know their own allegorical stories of the religion that they say they're a member of. They don't understand. They don't understand. Like, I want to go back to what you were talking about regarding the programmable state in a moment. But I just want to say, regarding people who say that they're Christian, they don't even know what the concept of sin is. They have such a distorted notion in their mind of what sin is. Sin exists. It's real. You know, I don't buy into a religious interpretation of anything, really. But when if you press me for the idea, does sin exist? Yes, absolutely it does. Sin is the true transgression against natural law. And the people in religious thought believe that those things are completely the opposite of what they really are. Sin is not vices of the mind like jealousy, pride, all the other seven deadly sins. These are vices of the mind. When I say the distortion in thought, it means you're taking the thing that is the real thing and you're either watering it down or you're completely inverting it. The real sins are the transgressions against natural law, murder, assault, rape, theft, trespass, coercion, and deception. And what the people calling themselves Christian are doing, they're not Christian at all. They've been taken into the religion of Satanism, because one of the things that Satanism encompasses is government. Government is a subset. You can look at government as a sect of Satanism, like Christianity has different variations and sects.
See, they can't imagine a world that's voluntary,
right,
and is organized by people, because they're children in their mind.
In their mind. And
as children, they need daddy.
Right.
Daddy's got to do it.
And do you know
but
who that is?
When you become an adult,
right,
and you follow Christ, you see that you are a man. And as Paul said, I was once a child, but I put away the things of children.
Right. And daddy in that equation is the satanic force.
Mm-hmm.
The satanic mind is that completely oppressive, distorted father figure. And that's what these people calling themselves Christian are really worshiping when they believe in and condone government and all the evils thereof. They are not Christian. They are not followers of the Christ figure of the New Testament. They are Satanists in their mind and in their behavior. And that's where the mark of the beast is carried, in their mind, in the head, and in their behavior, in the hand, where you perform your actions. That is the mark of the beast, ladies and gentlemen. It's distorted thought, which leads to distorted action,
mm-hmm,
and distorted condoning of action in the world.
Couldn't make it any plainer.
Right thought leads to right behavior, which leads to right results like order, prosperity, freedom, etc.
Cooperation.
Correct.
Voluntary cooperation.
Which is the only way to harmony and peace in our world. Absolutely.
See, as a child of natural law, being a cell in the body of the Godhead, I can understand that a voluntary society could exist.
Of course it can.
Because I'm connected to the spirit of natural law.
It's a choice in the moment, Jay. We can have that society tomorrow if people chose it. But what's holding them back from choosing it? Fear. And all fear is the work of the true Satan. It's not a deity that exists outside of yourself. It's distorted thinking that exists in your own mind and heart. It's you giving yourself up to fear. You've been sacrificed to fear. That's what the real Satan / Molech, whatever you want to call it, is. It's the distorted fear consciousness, fear-based consciousness inside a being that gets them to want to control other people. That's it. It's the desire to control and then condoning the control of others. Don't you get it? That's Satan's game. That's the game of evil. That's the whole – what was the song that – I think it – who was it that said, what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Sympathy for the Devil, the Stones.
Right.
Okay? Right? So the idea is what's puzzling the people is the nature of the game of evil. The nature of the game of evil is to put fear in the mind and heart and get the people to want to control others. That's what Satan wants to do. That's the distorted mind form, the distorted thought form called Satan. Shatan in the original Hebrew wording. It means the adversary. Well, what is it the adversary of? It's the adversary of correct thinking. It's distorted thinking. Distorted and wrong thoughts lead to distorted and wrong behaviors and the condoning of distorted and wrong behaviors, which leads to disorder, chaos, and ultimately slavery. Right thinking, ordered thinking, thinking in alignment with natural law leads to correct behavior. It leads to exercising of rights and not enacting wrongs into the world through behavior or condoning wrongs. You only exist and live and align your behaviors with natural law. That's it. You engage in your rights and you don't engage in wrong doings. And when you do that, and when we do that as a society, then our lives, not only individually, but societally, collectively, in the aggregate, become orderly, prosperous, and free. This is not rocket science, ladies and gentlemen. If you think that this is complex or, you know, very, very, very difficult to understand, this is stepping stone number one in the universe, where no society moves past this until they get it. We'll be confined to a prison like an egg.
That's why we're quarantined.
That's it. This is a quarantine. You are not allowed off Earth until you understand this. The entirety of creation will be against us until we get rid of this cancerous mind form, this cancerous thought form called government and authority. Until we purge that from our minds and hearts, because we have recognized it as the nature of evil, don't ever expect anything better than what exists here now, which is total slavery. You already have chaos. You already have complete disorder. You already have total slavery, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and it's going to constrict more and more, like a python wrapping around a little hamster, wrapping around a little mouse or a rat, and it's going to strangle it to death.
Well, we'll be back in a few, and this is The Center Path.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Mountain High Time, 2 hours of an organization to the madness. discussing the ever-changing dynamics of being both physically and mentally prepared for a plethora of possible outcomes to our future and present. A look into the latest technologies, new scientific discoveries, and how they might be used in connection to the human domain and controlling it, ancient cultures and places. Be warned. This is an opinionated look through headlines. Guests that are not afraid to question the narrative. A little bit of crazy ramblings of a stoner conspiracy factist that pushes constitutional concepts. The place and the time are the same, another dimension we call Mountain High Time. Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain High Time. Right here on Revolution.Radio, where information never sleeps and truth breaks the spell.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fam. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Hey, all right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
And we're back. I just want to thank everyone for helping Revolution Radio stay on the air by supporting us with a one-time donation, an occasional donation, becoming a member for about $5 a month, and just keeping our servers going. And because of a generous donation of Bitcoin by one of Mark's supporters, we now have at revolution.radio our new stream server, and we're working out the kinks, and we're moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. And I just want to say that, you know, Mark, tomorrow you're going to be on a X-Space with David Icke.
That's right. Yes, I was invited this week. It will, I believe it's Bartcoin or something like that that is the host. Not really familiar with the host, but they got in touch with me and invited me to take part in an X space with David Icke tomorrow. It's going to be taking place on X at noon Eastern time, noon Eastern here on the East Coast of the United States. And it will be with David Icke, and you can get the information on my Facebook and my X social media account. Looking forward to it.
They didn't invite me.
We're going to talk about, they want to talk about satanic ritual and energy and how the occultists use energy exchange. It should be pretty interesting. And I'm going
to be listening to it. And if they want me to chime in, cool. That's up to them.
Excellent.
Really don't know anything.
Yeah.
I've just made all this stuff up.
You'd be the wrong person to ask, right? Yeah, exactly. you know, I'm going to chime in with something very different than I think what anybody will be expecting, and you'll have to wait to see what that is. I'm not going to give any spoilers today. But what I would like to go back to is talking about something that you started getting into before the end of the last hour, which you were talking about the programmable state. And this is a big part of what I feel like I have failed to be able to truly get through to people, no matter how much I hammer on it. And I hammer on it quite a bit, because there's two things that we must know and get correct.
Well, before you start, remember what Carl Sagan said. It's easier for people to be bamboozled than to believe that they have been bamboozled.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's the
Satan force. That should be carved in stone somewhere.
That very idea, Jay, is the satanic mindset. Mm-hmm. That if people can understand that's what Satan is, it's not a deity in some other dimension or under the ground.
I have experiences with interdimensionals, and I have to say that's part of it, but the majority of our problem in this consensus reality is the programmable state Satanism being passed on generation to generation.
Right. Where those potentially interdimensional forms take root is in the human mind. That's my point, is that, that its expression is going to be found. It's going to be found in the human mind. And if it's going to ever be purged and we're not to be ruled by it anymore, we have to purge that distorted thinking from the human mind in mass. We're not doing that. We're failing miserably at doing that because we don't know things.
And remember, years ago, many times when we talked, we said it's so bad they have to be doing it to themselves.
That's right.
No external force could be doing this. They have to be doing this to themselves.
There's something
that human beings are allowing that is causing this amount of evil.
Correct.
I mean, it's so off the chart. The whole universe has got to be like its jaw must be dropped.
Yep. That's why I say that people are liars when they say that they want freedom. The majority of people, the vast majority, they're liars to themselves and others when they say they want freedom, because what they really want is comfort. They don't want the challenge of true personal responsibility that comes hand in hand with freedom. They want to be comfortable, and therefore they want to cling on to all of the distorted thought forms, which I'm calling Satan and Satanism, that keeps them in a state of comfortable slavery with no responsibility. And that is what the condition that I call cosmic childhood. And to keep an entire species in that state, which is what all the people who give over themselves and their minds to that thought form are participating in, is a cosmic crime. They're cosmic criminals. It is a cosmic crime to say to the universe, I refuse your lessons of natural law and I want to stay an eternal child. That is cosmic crime. And almost everybody on this planet is guilty. So, going back to what you talked about regarding the programmable state, this brings to mind what I would say are the two pieces of knowledge that is the same in any battle, the same in any combat situation. And believe me, this isn't just combat. This is absolute war. This is total war of the spirit is what we are engaged in right now, whether we know it or not. And there's the true ideology of victory in combat was engaged with and written down by Sun Tzu in ancient Eastern philosophy. And he came up with a formula that's very simple. It's a twofold formula. Know yourself and know your enemy. And let's put the enemy first. Know the enemy and know the self, because I want to talk about the enemy first, then the self. Okay? So picture going into a martial arts competition. Here's how you can understand the Sun Tzu philosophy, the art of war philosophy. Know the enemy, know the self. Okay? If you're going to go into a martial arts combat situation, you're going to go in the ring or the octagon, you're going to do kickboxing or MMA, whatever, you have to fully know your opponent. You have to study tapes on your opponent. You have to know if he's going to engage in a striking game, if he's going to engage in a ground game, if he's going to engage in a submission game, if he has strengths in all of these or just one. You have to know if he's going to try to pick the leg. You have to know if he's going to just stand up and box you. You have to know the opponent's strategy and style inside and out, backward and forward. You have to study tapes and hours and hours and hours and hours of video footage. If you don't do that going into a combat situation in any form of martial arts, you are going to get your ass destroyed in the ring, because you're going in against someone who you don't know what to expect, what angle they're going to come at you with, what weapon they're going to hit you with. That's number one, is you have to know the enemy. Number two is you have to know yourself. You have to know your own strengths. If you're not a strong striker, but you have an incredibly strong ground game in mixed martial arts, then you want to take the person off their feet as early as possible, and you don't want to stand up with them and just trade blows. You're going to get knocked out. And if you know your weakness and you know your strength and you really know yourself, you're going to play the combat situation to your own strength, and you're going to try to play against your enemy's weakness. This is simple combat rules. This is, again, nothing complex. This is not rocket science. This is knowing what your opponent's strengths and weaknesses are, and knowing what your own strengths and weaknesses are, and really deeply knowing those things and not lying to yourself about them. You don't lie to yourself, I'm such a good striker, I'm going to stand toe-to-toe with Tyson. You're not going to win that encounter, in his prime, right? You're not going to want to fight a boxer toe-to-toe when you don't have as good striking game and you're not as strong. You are going to want to try to take that person down, put him in a heel hook, and make him tap. You're not going to fight him toe-to-toe, no matter how big and bad you think you are, right? So it's strategy that wins an encounter. It's the mind wins it. Because the mind, in cooperation with the body, is the ultimate weapon. And we don't have this. Our team is completely deficient in this knowledge. And here's why. We do not know the nature of the enemy is Satan and Satanism. We don't know what that is. We don't know what it means. If you don't even know the nature of the enemy is completely distorted and wrong thinking, and that the ego, completely runaway ego, is the force that says to the being inside their own mental makeup, you know everything you need to know. Don't learn anything new. Don't learn what Satan is. Don't understand how to purge those distorted thought forms from your mind and your mental makeup. Just keep going on as you are with completely erroneous distortions of thought, running around, bumping around in your noggin, and never really understanding how to order your mind and write those thoughts. You're done from the beginning, because you don't even know what the nature of the enemy is. Sun Tzu said, if you know your enemy and yourself inside and out, you will always be victorious in combat. He then said, if you only know 50-50, if you know the self but not the enemy, or if you know the enemy but not the self, you will have random results. You'll maybe win some battles, you'll lose some battles, and you will have no pattern. There will be no pattern. It will appear to be random when you win or when you lose. And you'll not know why you won. You'll not know why you lost. You have no true knowledge. When you have, you might know a little bit about something here, a little bit about something there, but you don't have definitive knowledge. which is what I was talking about in the first hour, of knowing all of the dynamics of the causal factors that either lead to freedom or to slavery. You have to understand that inside and out. So then the third thing he said is, if you neither know the enemy or the self, you can never win a battle. You will be defeated in every combat encounter that you engage in. And that's where humanity is at. Humanity is at the place where we are rejecting the two biggest, important, most important knowledge that there is. And I've said over and over and over and over again, these are the two things that my entire life has been a complete act of futility in attempting to get people to truly know and understand. And here's what they are. It's the nature of the enemy. What is Satan? What is Satanism? I've been harping on this for 17 years straight. And I feel like the majority of human beings all over this planet have zero, and I mean 100% no knowledge of what Satanism is. They still believe religion is telling them the truth about Satan and Satanism. They still believe Hollywood. They still believe child's fairy tale stories. They believe anything but what is true and real. The force called Satan is the force that exists within the distorted human thought form structure in the mind that gets people to continue to accept falsity, lies, and illusion, and refuse to accept what is true, right, and good. That is what Satan is, and the religion of clinging on to those thought forms is what Satanism is. It is egotism above all else. It's, I'm right, I can't be wrong, I couldn't be deceived, and people will hear what I'm saying and try to interpret it like that. No, no, no. I was the person who I'm talking about in my youth. I completely made a 180-degree turnaround because of what I saw when I became involved in organized worldwide Satanism as an organized religion. Of all people who have these distorted thought forms, who have come together to control everybody else in an attempt to become God on earth, I was involved in that power structure and learned that it was enslaving everybody, including myself, and had a crisis in conscience to really truly understand what Satan and Satanism was and then teach it to the public. And as I said, I need to reformulate my thinking regarding how I could most effectively explain this to people, because teaching it to the ignorant, unwashed masses is not really working out well. It really is casting pearls before utter swine pigs. And I have to stop doing that because it's draining my personal energy and creating more problems for myself than it's worth doing. Because if I'm not in a state of health and strength, I can't teach anybody, including the people that want to learn. So I really have to try to cut loose more people who are resistant and don't want to learn, and really just tell them it's your funeral and it's your children's funeral, and that's what you've chosen, and only focus on the people who really want to know, and I have to restructure my work in some form. And I'm going to next year. This year, I'm probably going to hold on to the existing form for a little while longer, not to make any abrupt shifts and changes suddenly. But starting in 2025, if we're all still here, I'm going to restructure my work significantly. So the next part of what I've been trying to teach people is the second component, which is what you alluded to earlier. Who are we? Know the self. And almost everyone on earth, just like they don't have who is the enemy correct, they don't have knowledge of self correct. They have that completely distorted and wrong as well. And the main way they get that wrong is they do not understand human nature. They believe and are taught all of the falsities of what human nature not only is, but could be. They don't even have in their purview, in their possible mindset, what human nature could be. It's not even one of the choices on the list, the correct answer. They have multiple choice answers, and none of them are the correct answer. And they're told, choose between all of these wrong answers. You can't even get the answer correct, possibly, if that's your given choices. If you're given a multiple choice test, and you're given two answers, and both of them are wrong, and you're told, pick one, you have no chance of being right. That's where humanity is at on the idea of human nature. At least with the idea of Satan and Satanism, they have a few ideas on what it might mean or be. With human nature, they're told you get these two choices. Is human nature good or is human nature bad or evil? And both of them are wrong. And if you believe any of those answers, if you believe we're fundamentally good, we're fundamentally decent, we're fundamentally born a certain way, we come out of our mother's womb evil and just spouting evil and wrongness. If you believe we're just bad, we're flawed, etc., you're wrong. That is not what human nature is. I'm sorry. All of those answers are incorrect. From Jump Street, you're wrong. And you need to acknowledge that you've never even been given the possibility that human nature is something other than those choices. No one comes out of their mother's womb acting a certain way. We have to be taught. We have to be programmed. We have to have information put into our mind, and that informs our behavior. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the programmable state. The programmable state is human nature. So I've likened it to a computer. Everyone agrees, almost everyone I've ever posed this next question to, universally agrees. I've never gotten a different answer. If I go up to a person and I say this, I show them a picture of a computer mini tower and the circuit board inside and the solid state drive inside, the RAM, memory, etc., the graphics card, right? I show them those components and I ask them, would you characterize the nature of this machine as good or evil? Could you imagine how retarded and ridiculous that question is? It even sounds stupid. Is a computer good? Is a computer evil? This is the most ridiculous thing that you would ever possibly think. No one would. If I said, what is the nature of this computer? Would you write down on a piece of paper, the nature of this computer is it's good. The nature of this computer is it's evil. You would sound like your brain is broken. And if you gave those answers, I would very much venture to say your brain is broken. The nature of a computer is that information can be put into it, it processes that information in a certain way, and then it outputs that information. It is an input, processing, and output device. That's the nature of a computer. If you don't agree, you're wrong. That is the correct answer to what is the nature of a computer. Well, we have a similar nature to a computer. No, we are not computers. Do not twist it. Do not hear something I did not say. Do not invent something I did not say. Be present. Really listen to the words that are actually being spoken. Do you know how many emails I get? Mark, we're not computers. Find the footage or the audio clip where I say we are computers. I have never told any living soul human beings are computers. I have said over and over and over again, our nature is similar to the nature of a computer. We are programmable. This is the thing that the occult world does not want you to know. Do you realize this is like, if I ever took oaths to the dark occult world, they would have an assassin come for me. Thankfully, I never took any oaths of allegiance to them, because if I broke one of their major secrets out onto the public, trust me, they'd send an assassin. They would make it look like I took something and poisoned myself or committed suicide or my car went off into a ravine or my car went into a lake or a river. Believe me, they'd make it look like I offed myself or I had an accident. But trust me, it would be an assassin that did me off. Okay? If I took oaths of allegiance to them, which I never did, and then revealed what they told me I am never to reveal. I was imparted some of this information when I was in the occult, but I never took formalized oaths of allegiance to the Satanists. I was involved in a low-level capacity. When people make up things that I've never said, like, he was a high priest. Find me the footage where I've ever used the term high priest in relation to myself. You won't be able to do it because I never said it. I said I was appointed to the position of priest in the satanic hierarchy, particularly in the organization known as the Church of Satan. Priest, not high priest. I've explained the structure of the Church of Satan on this show before. You can go back in the archives and listen if you want to know that structure. There's only one high priest of the Church of Satan at any given time, and I have never occupied that position and never will. I was a simple priest in that organization, of which there are thousands of priests. I was no one special in that organization. Did I see behind the curtain and the corridors of power in our world? Yes, I did, but not because I was a member of the Church of Satan, because the Church of Satan interfaces with and eventually goes up the tentacle framework of the big octopus, and it goes higher up into the satanic hierarchy the longer you are involved with and the deeper you go into involvement with an organization like that. It's a public interface, and then you are eventually groomed upward in the hierarchy. I was never anything beyond priest in the Church of Satan, but even in that low rank, I learned a thing or two about what they are trying to hide from the average everyday moron. And they do not want people to understand who they are. They want them not to understand who they are. Think about it. They want them to lose every confrontation and battle because they won't know who their enemy is and they won't know who they are. And I'm giving you these answers. Once again, it's like casting pearls before pigs because most people have never worked to achieve these answers. And when they're given them, they tend to just slap the gold out of your hand. They say, I don't want that knowledge. You don't know what you're talking about. I know better than you. Just like what I talked about in the first segment here tonight. They think they know better when they know nothing. That's the satanic ego that has set up shop in their very mind and is owning them, possessing them, ruling them. That's what Satan is. It's a force that sets up in your mind and says, don't listen to the truth. Don't listen to what someone who actually found the reality of the situation that can help you in your endeavor for freedom. Don't listen. Tune it out. Tell them they're wrong. Tell them, even with all of your ignorance and never having studied any of it in depth, you know better than someone with the actual correct answer. That's what Satan is. And one of the things this complete, sick, twisted, psychopathic, evil group of dark occultists does not want you to know is what human nature is, because they don't want you discovering that human nature is the programmable state. It is programmability. There's only one correct word that is the answer to the correct answer to the question, what is human nature? And this is one of the secret of secrets of the entire occult world. And here is the answer. Human nature is programmability. The ability to be programmed into a certain mental condition is the nature of all humanity and nothing else. There is no other nature of a human being beyond programmability. because programmability dictates and determines every possibility of what a human being can eventually become. They can become almost angelic slash godlike, and they can become totally satanic and demonic, and all of the spectrum in between through programmability, through their nature as programmable beings. We are programmable. And then the question becomes, who has done the programming? What is the nature of the programming? What is the quality of the programming? And what is going to be the output via behavior of the programming? The programming is all leading to one thing: quality of behavior. Is the quality of the behavior that the programming is going to influence and ultimately dictate going to be good programming and then good behavior? Or is it all bad programming leading to bad behavior? Folks, if you can't hear the truth in what I'm saying, if this is confusing, if you're resistant to this, if you're saying that I'm wrong, you need to consider that you don't know what you think you know. You need to consider, has Satan set up shop in your brain, in your mind, in your consciousness? Are you owned? Are you possessed? Are you had? Are you deceived? Are you doing Satan's work by propagating untruth? See, this is what Satanism wants. It wants you in a state where you actually don't have the right answer, and yet you're claiming that you do have the right answer. That's what Satanism wants to create in the mind. It wants a completely distorted dichotomy of thought, in which you don't have any knowledge and yet you claim to. I am not claiming knowledge that I don't have. I am trying to disseminate to an ignorant population knowledge that I am factually correct regarding out of the goodness of my being, because I want to see people be free and prosper and not be enslaved. That is the nature of what a human being is. We are programmable creatures that can be programmed with good information leading to good behavior, which leads to good outcome. Input, processing, output. Okay? Very simple. We get information into our mind, we process it, we make our behavioral decisions based on our processing of that information, and if it's good information and good processing, it leads to good behavior and then to a good outcome in life. If we get bad information programmed into us, which most of us do the entire time we're young and in the programmable state, the hypnagogic state, in which the mind is not able to discern but only take in information, grammar, data, whatever you want to call it, okay, then the processing is going to be distorted. We're going to end up with all kinds of distortions in thought, which lead to terrible, distorted behavior that we then enact out into the world, and chaos and slavery is the result. If you cannot hear, ladies and gentlemen, if you cannot hear the simple, elegant truth of what I have just communicated to you, you almost certainly are programmed into a satanic mindset. And I'll stop there and let Jay, you respond to anything I said or ask any questions about that, and then I'll move on to a slightly different topic after that.
No, I think that was one of the best ways to put it, Mark, because, you know, when I look back at what a monarch MKUltra goes through, you are traumatized constantly for the first 7 years of your life, to the point where you have multiple personalities, schizophrenia. You're a mess, and there's nothing left of you. The only you have is the cult.
Yep.
So you're going to join the cult because there's nothing human left. There's just a shattered little child.
You know who that perfectly describes, in addition to satanic trauma-based mind control abuse victims? The police and the military. They're in that exact same situation in their brain. That's why they give in to evil and then just become a full-fledged member of their satanic cult called the police or called the military, and then do unspeakable horrors and crimes against humanity and crimes against natural law. It's no different. It's just a microcosm of that.
When you have that authority, Mark, that makes up for the fact that you're a piece of crap.
You're a god man in society, you know?
You better believe it.
Absolutely.
Once you get those dog tags, you're validated.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that you're an owned pet. Don't worry about it. They don't think of you like that, you know? How many Marines still want to look at the dog tags as a badge of honor? I mean, you guys got to be absolutely out of your mind, kidding yourself, lying to yourself. Your owner Satanists are telling you that you belong to them as their pets and attack dogs. That's why they're throwing dog collar chains, dog tags, identification tags that you would put on a dog around a human being's neck. Imagine this. And you're wearing it as a badge of honor. You're being ritualistically mocked. These people don't give a damn about you or your eternal immortal soul. You're chumped. You're owned. You're punked. And quite frankly, the real term is you're bitched. Literally. Like a dog that is just sitting there waiting for instruction from its master. You're literally bitched. And you think that's a badge of honor? That means you're not even your own being. You're not a man. You're someone else's bitch. You can't see it. You can't see it.
Does your website have the police mockery video?
Every single...
I mean, you've actually turned some police onto the truth with that video.
Very few, but some police members.
They've actually quit.
Because of my work. It's not very many. It's like less than a handful. But even having a couple quit their job because of helping them to reform their minds and reclaim their true identities and souls is a victory. You know?
Yes, it is.
Yep.
You know, so, it's not about numbers, Mark, because I look at... You know, one person, one human being that is brainwashed in the programmable state and then reclaims their divine mental capacity. I mean, I think it's worth 10,000 mind control slaves.
I agree.
I think, you know, the standard of vibration and frequency you're sending out into the morphogenic field in the Stockholm syndrome, as opposed to under natural law, it's got to be 10,000 to 1.
I'm going to agree, and you know, this some people will say is contradictory to things that I've said earlier, because I've said right now in our world evil is a more powerful force than good, and I don't retract that statement. It is, but 1 to 1. Good is more powerful than evil, 1 to 1. So, like you're saying, one of those people could be worth 10,000 NPC, you know, completely satanically minded, you know, losers, right? But, you know, in the aggregate, the evil is so powerful in our world in the collective sense that it still overwhelms good. But 1 to 1, I do accept and know. Good is more powerful 1 to 1. The problem is we're so vastly outnumbered by evil that it has such a foothold. It's entrenched in our world. It's literally a spell that is cast over the whole body of humanity that many more people have to come to the truth and teach it. What I would like to do with the time remaining, and if you know you want to do something different, we can do that too. But I want to talk on a slightly new concept, not completely new, that I've never introduced, but I want to talk about two concepts in direct tandem with each other that I call original sin and ultimate sin. Original sin and ultimate sin. What is the true original sin? And let me do a little bit of interaction here, not direct interaction.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this, and I think it's very important for people to humble themselves and realize this point.
Okay, so what during the break, I went and I got myself some water, and I just quickly perused through the chat. I almost never do that. I just decided to open up the Revolution Radio page and just look at the chat. And I'm going to talk about one comment. I'm not going to mention the person's name, and I'm not going to berate the person. I'm just going to answer the question that they posed. And I rarely do this and interact in a chat, and it's not direct interaction, but like I said, I just saw a comment, and it speaks to what I want to talk about. Right. And again, the person should just hear this as an answer to their question and not berating them. OK, the question was posed in the chat while I was talking in the first segment near the end of the first segment. Who decides what is right or wrong? Who decides what is good or evil? OK. And the very question, the framing of the question means that there is the concept, it speaks to the concept of original sin, which is an existing satanic framework in the mind. Now, I don't want the person who posed the question to hear that completely negatively and beratingly and say, oh, I'm saying you're a Satanist. I'm saying most people in the world have some form of thought distortion, and they have a satanically oriented mindset that's correctable. And how that's correctable is by very, very, very deeply beginning the process of truly understanding natural law. Something Jay talks endlessly about, tells people that they have to become knowledgeable about and write with. It's the bulk of my work. This is the essence. It's the crux. The word crux means cross. It's the crossing point. It's the intersection point of all of my work. It's the crux of my work. It's the most important part of all of my teachings. Natural law means that right and wrong are objective and inherent to nature. It means that they are not subject to the interpretations, the whims, the subjective opinions of humanity. So to even word the question, who decides what is right or wrong, is a completely incorrect and somewhat distorted way of even looking at these concepts of right and wrong. Right and wrong can never be decided. Right and wrong can never be decided by humanity. This very concept of deciding, put it in a big, healthy wrapping of double quotation marks. The concept of deciding what right or wrong is in and of itself Satanism. It is the original sin. Let me say this again. The true original sin is the very concept of deciding what is right or wrong. There is no such thing as deciding what is right or wrong. There is only discovering the pre-existing objective difference between right behavior and wrong behavior. There is no such thing as deciding right or wrong. There is only discovering what is right or wrong. And that has never changed since the universe was created, and that will never change until the day the universe does not exist for what one reason or another, if you believe that can even happen. So What is the state called original sin? What is the behavior called original sin? I've talked about this before on the show, but it's important enough. It should be reiterated, especially to listeners who consider themselves Christians. Your interpretation, as it has been explained and rehashed endlessly over and over and over and over and over again, of what original sin is wrong. And you need to accept that it is wrong, because I'm going to give you the correct answer of what the original sin against the Creator is and always was. And it's true and correct. It doesn't matter what you think your Bible says. This is the true in nature and reality original sin that humanity committed, or any sentient population ever commits against the Creator. Hear what I just said there. It doesn't matter whether it's this planet, another galaxy, another universe, another dimension. I don't care where it exists. As soon as a species does this behavior, that is the first and original sin of that species. And it is deciding for themselves what right and wrong are, instead of discovering what right and wrong are in nature. That is the original sin. And this is called moral relativism. And almost the whole world is trapped in the satanic mindset of moral relativism, the idea that humanity can ever get to decide what right and wrong are for themselves. There is no such thing as becoming the decider of right and wrong. There is only discovery of God's laws. Nothing else, nothing beyond that. And if you believe that anything can take the place of, distort, turn on its head, or invert God's laws, or usurp God's laws, then you are a subscriber to the satanic worldview and satanic religion. And that's what all government is. The proof that all government is moral relativism. Well, first of all, let's look at, before we look at government and moral relativism, let's look at the idea that original sin is something other than moral relativism, because that's what most fake Christians believe. That's what most, I'm going to start calling them distorted thought form Christians, or simply satanic Christians. They're not genuine Christians in the true and genuine tradition of the teachings of the Christ figure. And the Christ figure in the Bible, in the New Testament, does not have to be a historical figure. People get hung up on this. I don't believe in any Christianity because I don't think Jesus existed as a real man. I could care less what you think Jesus is. It's a set of teachings written down in a book to convey an idea regarding morality in a form of a story, a parable, an allegory, symbols, however you want to look at it. If you can't see, once again, that it does not matter whether there was a historical Christ or it's just a story, and you don't understand it's about understanding the moral lessons, you're a moron. And I can't believe how many morons are out there, because they seem like intelligent people that you can have a conversation about something like that with. And as soon as you even use the term Christianity or Satanism, they tune out of the conversation. Tough. It doesn't matter. Tough. Words exist for a reason. Definitions exist for a reason. It doesn't matter whether you don't like that it's called Christianity. It doesn't matter whether you don't like that it's called Satanism. They're called that to convey an idea. You know, Christianity is the teachings of the Christ figure in the New Testament stories of the Bible. If you don't like that it's called that, call it ultimate morality. I don't care what you call it. as long as you understand the conceptual ideas. This is where people get hung up on language. Stop being hung up on a term and understand the concept. This is why I tend to berate people and call them morons. Because how much more can you get hung up on meaningless details regarding words just because you don't like the term? Tough that you don't like the term. Understand the concept and stop acting like a moron hung up on a silly thing like a word. Okay? Learn what the word is supposed to convey conceptually and then speak to that concept like an intelligent adult instead of "I'm hung up on a word." I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of dealing with that. So, the concept of original sin, biblically, is about this idea of people took a fruit down from a tree and put it in their mouth, and God didn't want them to do that. Yeah, man, that's original sin. That woman took that apple from a snake, and she bit into it, then handed it to her man, and he bit in. I mean, it's unfathomable that it's the year 2024 and we're still talking to morons who believe this is the actual nature of original sin. And even bigger morons than that, original sin was the sex act. Could you imagine how much of a distorted view of human sexuality it is to believe that the thing that helps to procreate and grow life is the thing that people attribute to the worst thing that could possibly exist, sin? You know what this shows? It shows you have no sexuality and you probably have no sex. It's people who are puritanical in their imbecile mind and want to make sex about everything. They want to make everything about sex because they're hung up on not having it. Okay? That's the real answer. That's the real answer to why morons think that way. Because you're sex-starved losers. Okay? And you don't have any good view or interpretation of human sexuality, which is given to us by God. To imagine that original sin is sex, you hate yourself. You hate yourself probably because you're a sexless loser. Okay? So, original sin is not taking a physical fruit off of a tree and eating it because God commanded you not to. It's not having sex. That's even more moronic. It means there's a mistranslation in Genesis by all the biblical scholars who have translated the concept of the allegory of taking the fruit and biting into it and eating it. Instead of interpreting the story to mean, do not take the knowledge of good and evil upon yourself. If I said, don't take it upon yourself to do that, I said to another person, listen, my printer cartridges in my printer are very temperamental. Don't take it upon yourself to just change them the way you want to change them. I got to show you the changing procedure. Don't take that upon yourself. That means don't go and decide you're going to go and do that thing yourself and you have the answer. That's what it means. Because I would have to instruct you in the process. So don't take that upon yourself, right? Don't arbitrate that. Don't go and say, I can take that upon myself and I can do it and I'll do it right when you'll mess it up badly. To arbitrate something is to take it upon yourself. It was misinterpreted and mistranslated to mean take it into yourself instead of upon yourself. Do you see how the connotation completely shifts and turns to a literalist interpretation? If I said, don't take that upon yourself, you would think, oh, I shouldn't do that myself. I shouldn't be the arbiter of that and take that job upon myself because I'll probably get it completely wrong and I should just be instructed on what the real answer is and then I'll understand what to do. That's original sin, is taking it upon yourself to decide what right or wrong is instead of receive the truth about it from God. See, if then I said, don't take that into yourself, that has a whole different connotation. That means don't put it in your body. Original sin is not about putting something in your body, whether it's a fruit or a penis. Okay? And the only people who think that are morons. You're not an intelligent person if you translate the scriptures like that. You're a moron who believes in literalist or distorted interpretations of biblical scripture. The real answer, and the only answer that makes sense, is don't take good and evil upon yourself, meaning don't arbitrate them and don't try to decide what they are. Instead, discover the truth about what they are from God. Because that is what learning natural law is. You learn what the objective difference in nature is between right behavior and wrong behavior. And the final answer regarding that is you would then discover a right is an action that does not initiate harm to another sentient being. And a wrongdoing is any behavior that does initiate harm to another sentient being. All forms of wrong are theft because all rights are property rights. And when you do something that is a transgression against natural law or a sin, you are stealing something that doesn't belong to you to take. All wrongdoing is theft of property. Murder, assault, rape, theft, trespass, coercion, and deception. Here's what you steal by engaging in them. When you do murder, you're stealing life that isn't yours to take. When you do assault, you're stealing well-being in the body that isn't yours to take. When you do rape, you're stealing sexual association and coercing another and forcing them to take part in an activity that they don't want to participate in. So you're stealing their bodily well-being, you're stealing their free will, you're coercing them. That's what you're stealing their free will sexual association and their bodily well-being when you're raping. Assault, murder, assault, rape, theft. Theft is the taking of physical property that isn't yours to take from another person who it is their rightful property. Trespass, that's the stealing of someone else's security in their living space or in their property that isn't yours to take. So it's a form of theft. Coercion is the theft of free will. It's the taking of rights and freedom. And deception is stealing someone's ability to make an informed decision by giving them knowingly incorrect information deliberately. That's called deception. That's a form of theft. All wrongdoings against natural law, against all rights, are forms of theft. Therefore, there's only one sin and there's only one law. What did we steal in the original sin? It's an attempt to steal the throne of God and make your own law. When you're not the lawmaker, you're a person who is supposed to obey the laws of God, not usurp the throne and become the lawmaker. Ran out of time.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest...